This is a Venkast Studios production.
Welcome, welcome to day 7 of Riding the Pines NBA Playoff Podcast. I am Hondo here with Guy. What's up, Guy?
Yeah, what's good?
Guy, are you sleeping at all these days, or are you just like just rolling from one game to another?
That's exactly right. All the above.
Just all the above. So we have three games tonight, and we're just going to get into it. We always just get right into it. So let's go. Hey, you know what's a little bit concerning? The strength of our predictions last night.
Yikes.
Yeah, 1-for-3. Not real strong. So we're gonna go right into it. We have to go right into it. There's no other option. So we are gonna go right into gameplay. So we are gonna go. Definitely the wrong evening. And
we're gonna start the tone with Boston, Chicago. We're going with Jimmy Buckets wearing his Masters golf jacket, rooting for the Celtics to win. And Rondo, questionable / out for the night, so he doesn't even play. He doesn't suit up or anything.
Wow.
So already they have a game plan that's not what was predictable. You know, they had to change it up. Boston changes it up. Amir Neck Tattoo Johnson on the bench and bring up Gerald Green. So
yeah.
Gerald Green starts.
Yeah.
What is this? What's going through your head? What's going through your head with knowing this now?
Gerald Green starting is quite concerning. Boy, I don't really know what to think. And he just doesn't do much in this game.
Well, I think the main reason why they did this is because of energy reasons. They wanted to change it up. They wanted to put more emphasis on Horford to get going down low. And then Gerald Green as a kind of like a three-man from the wing, just bring more energy, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see any other reason. But knowing that Rondo was out this night, they did this game switch as well. So that kind of set the tone, you know? They're now in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
right? So Chicago up 2, Boston must win game 3.
Oh my right? God. There's some spectacularly just terrible quarters going on here. Chicago starts the first quarter off with 15. Boston comes into the second with 11. Mm. Oh my God.
That's the story of this game. Like, it was pretty awful to watch.
Just trash ball.
Yeah, trash. Mm.
So basically it kind of works for Horford. Horford ends up scoring, what, 18, leading the charge, if that's really leading the charge.
He started the game with, like, a couple threes, and that's kind of uncommon from him. So
yeah.
It was cool to see that, but also not sustainable, right? So they need him working down low so then Isaiah and everyone else can work from the, you know, from the range.
What the hell happened with Butler tonight? I mean, he's 7 for 21, 14 points in 39 minutes. That is garbage.
Well, I think more telling is the fact that he wasn't aggressive at all. Went like 0 for 0 from the free throw line, right? He didn't even go to the line. And like the entire box score, you know, for Chicago lands them with 14 assists. Guess what happened last game with Rondo? If Rondo logged 14 assists.
Yeah.
So without Rondo, they don't have any distribution. They start Jerry and Grant, which I think is the better of the two shit stains. And any game that you play MCW, you're in trouble, right? So they really wanted to limit him.
This Bulls team sponsored you by Tide.
Yeah.
Taking out the shit stains one at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, you know what's funny about this free throw situation that you brought up with Butler? Everybody else from Chicago is perfect from the line.
Yeah.
it's just he's actually perfect. He just decides not to shoot anything.
Mm-hmm. I think like 46% from 3 for Boston was a huge relief. They needed anything to kind of just supplant the Zipsers and the Mirotiches of the world. And I think they had a pretty good pace throughout the whole game. I'm pretty sure they were up the whole game. Didn't really let up except for the beginning. And you know what happened? What happened with Rondo? Like, I want to really know deep down what happened to Rondo.
It's like the version of Where's Waldo, but Where's Rondo?
Kind of. He was ruled out because of a thumb. But he's played a playoff game without a fucking hand before, right?
Yeah,
that's like, I remember this.
That's right.
He dislocated his entire elbow and like he came back and won that game for Boston against Cleveland. Okay, let's set the stage here. Rondo used to play for Boston. Rondo, championship pedigree player Rondo with Boston.
Yes.
Boston's down 0-2. Boston has a huge heartfelt storyline leading into game three. Must win game three or else. Rondo's suddenly not playing in game three. Rondo.
Is it a mob clause? It's a mob clause. It That's it.
That's what I wanted you to say. I wonder if he got paid, you know? I wonder if he, like, the streets of Boston, you know?
Yeah.
On his way out.
Boy, that's a really, now you're making this like an unsolved mystery, and it's really just, he's probably just injured with his thumb and just kind of sitting back and relaxing, just always in the up position too. Things are going great.
The fully erect thumb. Yo, but 28% from three for Chicago, 46, I think I already said this, from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Great discrepancy, which makes me really wonder what Chicago's game plan was. They weren't switching. They were just holding their own little like mini college zone they were throwing out there.
Wow.
And their best player was probably once again Lopez and Zipser,
yeah,
which is fucking crazy to me. Jimmy Butler wasn't anywhere to be found in this game. He clearly didn't want to play in the fourth quarter at all. He was done. And so it was kind of like a grind out, you know, last quarter. And so then you saw a bunch of other random scrubs from Chicago. But like the Moros and the Valentines of the world, right?
I'm looking at this stat. The Celtics only shot 7 free throws this game. The entire game.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't understand that either. But they're not. They're aggressive, but they're like, Isaiah Thomas doesn't want contact, right? He's going to go fucking down to anything that breathes on him. So,
all right.
Horford avoids contact. Everyone avoids contact on that team. I guess for Marcus Smart, but
yeah, except for Marcus Smart.
But he doesn't play much this game.
Okay. So thoughts and predictions on game four.
Well, this was great because Avery Bradley was 4 for 6 from three, and a couple other people like Horford was shooting well from three. Marcus Smart and everyone else. Terry Rozier showed up for some reason. So this is like cool momentum for Boston game four in Chicago, which would be wild if they even the series. If they even the series, my prediction is Boston takes this now.
Yeah.
But I want to know what the fuck is going on with Rondo. I really want to know what's going on with Rondo.
I mean, so when will we?
The Raj.
When will we know more? I mean, in the morning? In like,
I don't know.
Just before next game? When is
they're gonna be
the next game? This. Sunday?
Yeah. Don't know, man.
Okay. All right, there's
for game four.
There's a lot of unsolved mysteries in this game.
For game four, though, I'm going to Chicago still.
Okay.
If Rondo comes back, if Rondo's out, clear and present danger for Chicago. I'm going with Boston. So it's all dependent on Rondo.
It's all dependent on Rondo. I don't want to make anything dependent on Rondo. I'm going with Boston. I'm going with Boston, but it's not going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be about a 5-point victory.
I feel for Chicago fans, like they're forced to root for Han Rondo right now, you know? Like they have no other choice. Get well soon. We want you to get well.
This is forced fan participation.
Yeah. Seinfeld reference.
All right. So let's move on to our second game of the evening. And that is the Rockets and the Thunder. This is a pretty solid win for the Thunder. 115-113. Houston is still leading in this series 2-1. But this basically puts the Thunder in a situation to try and tie it up, because getting down 3-0 versus the Rockets is not a situation they could even afford to get into. Obviously, I mean, this is still the MVP chatter. This is like, it's so hard to talk about this series because it's just like, well, it's either Harden or it's Westbrook, and obviously, it's like it's Westbrook in this game, because Westbrook goes 32, 13, 11. And what does Harden do? Harden goes 44, 6 and 6. And I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. What's that?
I don't know exactly what you're saying. They both dominated this game from the get-go. So it was a battle of two MVPs, as you say, but they both put ridiculous stat lines on.
No, they did.
So the supporting cast is the reason this game was what it was. And I'm just going to go and said, like, the game plan for Billy Donovan and crew for game three, do something not game two. Right?
Yeah.
What was game two? Fucking Westbrook shooting 50 times.
Yep.
Look at the box score. That is 100% what they need to do from here on out.
Yeah, just
everyone fucking gets involved.
Just massive.
Everyone scored.
Massive distribution.
Look at the bench.
I mean, just great distribution across the bench. I mean, Cantor goes for 10. You have Dougie McBuckets for 6. You have Abrines. Abrines with 8.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so the bench produced. The bench shot well from 3. Taj Mahal Gibson came to play.
Taj Mahal Gibson.
Yeah, I stole your line. Taj Mahal Gibson comes to play, and he doesn't take a shot outside of the paint. And he fucking hams it in down there. And there's a lot of takes, and here's the best take, is Andre Roberson. I know we talk about it too much, but he comes right back. He comes right back. He fucking crushed it this game. He's guarding Harden. He's guarding the Arizas. He's guarding Eric Gordon's. He's forcing Eric Gordon to dribble drive. He's forcing Ryan Anderson to dribble drive. If both of them are doing that, look at their fucking stats.
Yeah.
They didn't do jack from three.
They did.
Roberson crushed it. Roberson had like this huge like fucking 2 steal, 3 block, 4, you know, whatever stat line. But he's also crushing from three. He's doing his job 100% of the time that he's out there. And you can't take him out. Like, he's their MVP right now, which is hilarious in this series because he's guarding Harden.
He's guarding Harden.
There it is. You heard it here first. Andre Roberson guards Harden.
That's ridiculous. Okay. What a crazy distribution of points for the Rockets, though. I'm just like, I'm trying to put my head around this because it's like 44 for Harden, 22 for Williams off the bench, 12 for Gordon off the bench. 18 for Anderson. Like, what? It's just randomness.
Maybe.
Just
those are the people that are going to score in the game anyways, right? But sure. The distribution is a little off, we'll say. And Harden kind of pulled a Westbrook. In the end of the game, he wasn't going for anyone. He wasn't looking at anyone. He was playing his game as if he's the MVP. And
so it's just a face-off situation. It's really
what
just...
What a predicament.
It's really just Nick Cage, and they're just switching faces.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Oh, man, that's a... Call back to a movie in the 90s. Shout out to our age.
Oh, my God. So
this game started out really well, though, too. Like, for OKC, they had, like, a 6-0 lead. Westbrook wasn't shooting in the first quarter. He was giving it out. He's passing it, distributing it to Taj and Roberson, and I think even, like, a fucking Adams jam and Oladipo steel jam. It was pretty cool, like, you know.
A steel Oladipo jam.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to die sometime.
all the games, all season, that never died. I don't know.
He's hit us up on our DMs, man. He doesn't like it.
He's alleging copyright infringement on us.
Yeah. Well, he was doing like the Westbrook mimic game, like doing anything from mid-range. Oladipo was doing the same thing, too. So it was pretty fun to watch. I got to say, this game was really... ruthless from the get-go. There was like the pace was unstoppable for OKC, and they had like a 10-point lead pretty much the entire game. At one point, Houston made a small run and kind of took over for a bit, but this was OKC's game, and they didn't want to let down their fans. And basically, Westbrook was on a mission to show everyone he's changed his game up for game three.
Yeah.
And I gotta be honest, all credit goes to Billy Donovan. I think I wouldn't have ever said that, but Westbrook was channeled. Like,
yes.
I'm sorry. Westbrook was tamed.
Tamed and just directed, I guess. I would go with directed more so. And just he's not having to take charge. Donovan is actually getting the full cast involved, like you said. And that changes the result here. All right. So thoughts on the next game. Obviously, this really changes the dynamic, and I think it changes the dynamic in conversation, but this is still a very close game. And Harden almost won this game. He had a last second shot that just rimmed out.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful. I don't want to talk about it. I do want to talk about the fact that Westbrook on the line shanked 2 free throws in back-to-back possessions, was totally in Houston's favor to win this fucking game. Mm-hmm. And they just do back-to-back 3-pointers from Harden, like casual, nonchalant, with no time left on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
It pissed me off, man. because he should win. He should have won that game for them, and he just dropped the ball. Yeah, thoughts and predictions. Like Norris Cole, Andre Roberson, Victor Oladipo. You're not scoring on that trio. All of a sudden, they're playing that trio at times, and that's really cool. Dispel minutes for Westbrook. You're not scoring on them. OKC's found a little rhythm, found a little groove, and I wasn't expecting this because we've not seen any of that in the series. Yeah. And I would go ahead and say, like, OKC game four.
Wow.
I don't know how... I don't know how to respond to this game plan. Because now what does Harden do? He has to do the same game because that's what they did all season long. They can't change it up because their game plan was the same.
Yeah, you're right. The game plan is absolutely the same. There's really nothing else they can do. It's not like... I don't think they're going to change their bench structure. I don't think they're going to get that much other production out of their starters. You're right. They can't do anything else.
Maybe play pink tips a little bit, you know, Montrezl. or I don't know, Clint Capella get more than two rebounds, like do a little bit more or something. But he didn't play a whole lot. He didn't have a whole much impact. I think they played a bunch of fucking, like, Eric Gordon. And so, like, Nene was at the five, or who was it? Ryan Anderson played a bunch of five, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a result, Steven Adams didn't even play that much, you know? So,
yeah,
like, they were counterpointing each other. Kind of neat to see that in the game live. Both offensive-minded coaches kind of switched up defensive styles. And, you know, styles upon styles upon styles. So yeah. That's my prediction is so OKC game four. So it gets tied up.
And I really like the logic you've presented here, but, like, part of my brain is just suggesting that this is an anomaly for Houston, and they can still pull it off some way, somehow. And I'm going to ride Houston on this next one. I'm going to say it's really close. I'm going to go 4 points. Houston.
Okay, cool. I think Andre Roberson is honestly my MVP of the series so far, which is hilarious. And because he's had insane production back-to-back-to-back games now. And so I'm more for the course.
Does he know what to do with trophies? More for the five-star. Does he course. Know what to do with trophies? He's used to just getting participation medals. So
Yeah.
All right, last game. Last game of the evening is Clips and Jazz. Clips end up pulling this one out 111-106. And so there is some pretty monster game. There was a very monster game here from Hayward. So Hayward goes off for 48-4. You know, this game could basically be dispelled down into Hayward versus Paul. Now, there is a very big note to make in this game that Griffin does go out with, what is it?
Like a foot
injury of some kind. And that does change the dynamic of the game. So it's basically Paul versus Hayward. And Hayward puts up better numbers, but I don't know. The Clips just have more in their tank. Thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts to this game. This was really kind of more exciting than it should have been because Utah was up for most of this game and LAC kind of came back in the fourth quarter and took it over. And it was kind of very annoying that Utah couldn't make a play, couldn't make a shot. I would say that Hayward listened to our fucking podcast and came to play, scored 21 points in the first quarter. He had something to prove. Like, he was kind of miserable in the first series, in the first few games of the series. So he came out, he came guns blazing, proved to his loyal, you know, his Mormon loyal that, you know, chant with me, dance with me, you know, make multiple babies and name them after me. But Raymond Hot and Ready Pizza Felton. Do you remember Pizza Hut in in Minnesota?
Yes.
Remember that jingle?
488-8888 Pizza Hut. Raymond Felton Pizza Hut delivery is really great.
There it is. He came to play tonight, Hondo, and that was crazy because he had limited minutes, but he just booked it. You are breathing really hard. Sorry. I'm like hearing you going,
hey, man, pizza. I got really, that was a hard press on that jingle. I got hard pressed on that Raymond Felton jingle. Nothing there. All right. Anyways, continue on.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to offend you or anything. Well, Felton and
it's Crawford, not offensive. It's just breathing.
Anyways, Spates, Felt, and Crawford all crushed it from the bench. When Griffin goes down, Luke Mamute, the man with too many names, takes the slack, you know, the six slack, makes him black.
Wow. Yeah. That is impressive.
And never going back, back. I'm done. But no, look at the stats. Like fucking Luke Mamute goes 6 for 9. That, you don't see that out of a defensive stud in Luke Mamute. And J.J. Redick had a meaningless game. And, you know, Paul Pierce scores 0 points in 21 minutes. But that's crazy, right? Like all these other players don't come to show up. It's literally just Chris Paul taking it over in the fourth.
So what I mean, what do you do though if you score, if you're somebody like Paul Pierce and you go, you play 21 minutes, you score no points, given how old you are, just like
you retire. You say bon voyage. You
just retire. And
yeah. You go on Area 21.
Just bring him back into the nursing home at the end of the evening.
You show up for KG's Area 21 the day after.
Paul Bingo. Mingo will be at this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gosh. So let's talk about recalibration then. If Griffin is out next game, what happens to the Clips?
They're in trouble because Utah sneakily isn't losing a whole lot with Gobert out, which is funny for me to say because obviously he changes and impacts the series greatly.
Yes.
But Favors has been doing a good job. Don't look at the stats. Favors is doing a great job this game, despite what that looks like. Ingles is doing well. Sheldon Mack needs to come to play. Everyone else needs to come to play. But like it was like literally three players that played for Utah. Like, you know. George Hill, George Johnson, and Gordon Hayward. Those are the only three players that came up, that showed up, that wore their, you know, their street clothes to close.
The alchemy. Street clothes to close.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I was trying to say was street clothes to close the game. Like, to close the game.
I got it now.
Yeah. And if you get it, you can have it. Sheldon Mack, you need to do more. Rodney Hood, I want you to show up in one game this series. That game will be pivotal. Do it for the culture. Do it for the Stifle Tower. Just do it. We need, as in Utah, I want Utah to win the series now desperately. We need him to score at least 15, 20 points in one game just to spell a little bit because Hayward had an amazing game. It's actually probably able to be replicated, but won't because it's Hayward. And
I don't think he replicates 40. No. I think Hill can do what he did again. Joe Johnson can go for more. You're right. I think it's dependent on Hood. I think Favors can step it up a little bit more. So I think Utah has enough. I think Utah has enough to do it, especially if Griffin's out. So what's your prediction for the next game?
Jazz led by 14 in this game, and CP3 was like, fuck that.
Is that, right? But is it just because of his kind of playoff prowess? Is it just because it's
CP3?
What is it?
It's CP3 going ham, and he's crafty. He's not fucking flopping coptering everywhere. He's actually trying to get a game-winning bucket, you know, or game-scoring possession, not playing that game within the game, just playing what's in his wheelhouse. And I liked what I see in him. I like what I saw in him, but honestly, like I hate watching that team so much that it's like hard to like contently watch that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping for a fucking game four. You know, Gobert come back, and we said this: if Gobert's back, Utah wins. But we kind of said that with the clauses: if he's not back, I'm pretty sure LAC wins. So this is our one game that we won, or we got right, I guess.
We got right, but we really don't feel good.
We don't
about
feel
it.
Good about it at all. We're gonna celebrate. We're gonna, you know, light some pancakes. What?
This is our remorseful victory. Okay, so if Gobert comes back, if Gobert is back, obviously, or I'm going Jazz fully. Mm-hmm. But even without Gobert back, I still want to go Jazz.
Go bear back.
I want the emotional bet. I want the emotional bet. I don't want the logical bet.
Yeah, take all logic out of this equation. I would say Blake Griffin is the X factor in this game. If he shows up, the Clippers will take this game, game four. If he's unable to play, Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so we have a couple of games coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're going to be in West Seattle, live in West Seattle.
Live, West Seattle. So games tomorrow include Raptors, Bucks, Wizards, Hawks, Spurs, Grizz, and Warriors, Blazers.
I know I'll see you all night tonight, tomorrow night rather.
Yes.
Because that's going to be a large breakdown.
A large, large breakdown.
And an emotional one for the Aaron.
Yes.
The Aaron K.
Now, Bucks, Raptors, we're going Bucks. We're going Bucks.
100%.
Yeah, have to.
We're going Wizards over Hawks, 100%.
The line says Hawks, which is, that's a trash line, money. Vegas. Trash line.
Let's bet on this thing. Let's go to Vegas tonight. I don't have time. Spurs, Grizz. You know Spurs are going to bounce back.
They have to.
Yeah.
Because
all they do is listen to Big Sean, you know?
All they do?
No. They also run sprints for Pop. You're right.
I love Pop's just sprinting down the hallway. Yeah. It's the best meme. It's the best meme out there.
I still don't understand that at all.
I don't know why he did it, but
yeah.
I don't know why he does what he does. So
yeah.
But he wins games, wins series. So we'll see that. I think that win from the Grizz was an anomaly. I don't think it can be replicated.
You love saying that word. I would say that Golden State crushes the Blazers again, this time probably by like 15. What?
15?
Okay.
I was going to say 40.
Okay. That's what the F was. This F sound.
All right. Sounds and breathing are becoming an issue as we get into day 8 here, and we're recording over the witching hour.
Mm. Yo, Forks, Washington. Let's get that twilight light.
Mm-hmm. Light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So we predicted all the games. What are we up to? What are we looking ahead for? Like, what are some like thoughts that are going to kind of creep up? What are some stats that are going to show up? What are some like anomaly stats? I love you.
Just rolling anomalies.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to think.
Well, you see the 8 teams. Well, you see the 8 teams. Maybe like 40 for Giannis, as I said.
40 for Giannis, 4 for Lowry.
Beal, like a triple double for Wall.
Beal and Wall for 80.
Yeah, you got that. You got that unlock.
I'll take that unlock.
Spurs win. Is that an anomaly? No.
Spurs win. So.
Does Ginobili score in this game?
2 points for Ginobili.
2 points?
Two points for Ginobili.
Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip. He does he have
it? Let me see. Is
Nurkic is not playing.
Nurkic is not playing. Kawhi with...
KD's not playing.
Kawhi with 35.
Oh, we have already moved on. Oh, okay. So Kawhi 35?
Kawhi 35. A quiet Kawhi 35.
Nice. And then the last game, yeah. Like, so Nurkic isn't playing. KD's not playing. Like, McAdoo is playing and fucking McCaw's playing and Ian Clark is playing.
So do we just go and pick a JaVale McGee MVP
yeah.
of game four?
Mm-hmm, sure.
All right. JaVale McGee with 20.
It's game three.
Okay. Well, then it's really hard to predict game four because I'd really appreciate knowing what happens in game three first.
But hey, man. PDX, faithful Rip City. Maybe they're gonna come
ripped,
out.
Ripped shirt city after yeah, they're yeah. just they're really disgruntled after what happened again. You know what? That's gonna wrap it. That's probably gonna wrap. That's
gonna, send it out.
We're gonna tie this up and close her down. We'll be back with thoughts, predictions, analysis. A lot of incoherent rambling for day 8 of the NBA Playoff Podcast brought to you by Ryan McLean. I'm Hondo here with Guy. Guy, get some sleep.
Peace. Mm-hmm.
This has been a Vencast Studios production.